Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak to them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet if I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion, I will declare the decree. The Lord said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and he perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation that seek him, O Jacob, that seek thy face. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What an awesome book is this book we call the Bible. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Some of you have asked, how did I get a rotator cuff torn? I think it was when I was pitching professional baseball. I don't remember, but I think it was. Or doing the Indian wrestling. I'm not sure which it was. It was one or the other. But I'm glad I'm doing well. I'm glad I'm able to be here and be able to preach. You know what Jonah said? You can't keep a good man down. So I'm up and I'm here. And I'm glad that I can be a part of this day and these services. You know, we have some problems at our house when it comes to dressing. We do quite well until we get to the hair. Then I hang up the divorce paper. All we got to do is sign it. It's already filled out. She doesn't get it fixed right. But she does a good job, don't you think? Don't I look nice? She almost choked me putting my tie on. But so if I get strangled while I'm preaching tonight, well, you'll understand. Well, I've said it before. Let me say it again. One of my favorite beatitudes is, blessed is the preacher that can get airborne without using too much runway. So I've used enough runway. Oh, by the way, did I tell you, when we open the Bible, The Bible opens the mind of God. I want to see what God's thinking about in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 5. The church at Thessalonica was the first church that the Apostle Paul established. And then he writes two letters to them, both of them are letters of comfort and consolation. In the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to read as my text just one verse, but it's a power-packed verse, and I'm going to read it after we pray. Father, we're thankful again for this opportunity. Thank you for our pastor and our people and our staff and our men, our members, our children. Thank you for the music that's blessed our hearts this day. Thank you that it has been honoring and glorifying of the Lord Jesus. And it really doesn't matter who's doing the singing or who's doing the preaching. The only thing that really matters is Christ glorified. Amen. Is he honored? And is the word coming as it should come? Help us now in this time. Strengthen us physically and spiritually and emotionally and mentally. For you are concerned about every part of our bodies and our lives. And we thank you for your healing mercies and grace and your saving power through the blood of the Lamb. In his name we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 at verse number 17. Just three words. Paul is indicting a good matter here. He says, pray without ceasing. That simply means don't ever stop praying. Someone asked a Baptist preacher, someone from another denomination, do you Baptists have a prayer book? Why, certainly, he said, it's the Bible, and it has over 600 prayers in it. Thank God for the prayers in the Bible. They were prayed indoors and outdoors and upstairs and downstairs and in tents, in the wilderness, in the desert, in houses, in jailhouses. Everywhere prayer was offered, the record in the Word of God. You know, the disciples of our Lord Jesus asked him to teach them only one thing. They did not ask him to teach them to tithe. Kind of wish they had. They didn't ask him to teach them to win souls or go to church or witness or be good or be kind or be compassionate or be loving or be long-suffering. No, they said in Luke 11:1, Lord, teach us to pray. Not how to pray, not how long to pray, not what to pray about. Teach us to pray. A man by the name of Wrights wrote a song back in 1879 called Teach Me to Pray. The words go like this. I'm not going to try to sing it. I wouldn't compete with that fellow that just sang. That was great, brother. God bless you. All the music's been great. I love that song about paying the debt. I'm glad he paid it. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. This is my heart cry day unto day. I long to know thy will and thy way. Teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. Living in thee, Lord, and thou in me, constantly abiding, this is my plea. Grant me thy power, boundless and free, power with men and power with thee. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, Paul's admonition to the church at Thessalonica is good for us, the church at Worth Baptist. I believe that was a Baptist church, and I know this is a Baptist church. The same admonition and charge and challenge is good for us tonight. If indeed prayer was needed in the church at Thessalonica in the first century, how much more is it needed in the 20 centuries later? Be it known to all persons present, prayer is not words of the mouth, but the attitude of the heart. A wise man once said, I don't remember who it was, may have been me, when you pray, let your heart be without words rather than your words without heart. Mary, Queen of Scots, said, "I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the assembled armies of Europe." Wow. Could I ask you a heart-to-heart question? Is anybody afraid of your prayers? Lord, teach us to pray. And he did. And he said, when you pray, and this is the model prayer, the disciples' prayer, your prayer and mine, not the Lord's prayer, that's John 17. He said, when you pray, say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, both now and forever. So let it be." Now, if I ever learn to sing, that's the song that I'm going to sing, the Lord's Prayer. That's the most beautiful song that's ever been written, in my opinion. By the way, could I ask you a personal question? When's the last time you uttered the Lord's Prayer, or the prayer he taught us to pray? When did you pray last, "Our Father which art in heaven"? Could I do a little self-indulgence at this moment? Every morning before I begin my regular devotions, I always pray the Lord's Prayer. He taught me to pray it. I'd be doing wrong if I didn't pray it. Anything that Jesus taught us to do has to be right, has to be effective, has to be good. "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom." By the way, that prayer will one day be answered. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." You may be asking, but how can I pray without ceasing? It is utterly impossible for me to be on my knees 24/7. Well, perhaps I should remind you that whatever the posture of your body, your soul can be on its knees. James 5:16, he said, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And then he gave us an example in the next verse. That's verse 16 of James 5. In verse 17, he said Elijah was a man just like we are. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. He has the same needs that we have, same passions that we have, same desires that we have, same problems that we have, same deficiencies that we have, same defects that we have. And he prayed. Listen now. He prayed earnestly. He didn't just pray. He prayed earnestly. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And you know what the Bible says? It did not rain upon the earth for 3 years and 6 months. But the story does not end there. He prayed again. We need some more praying again. I think you know the rest of that story. Luke 18:1, Jesus said, "Men ought always to pray and not to faint." Now that suggests to me, if we don't pray like we ought to pray, we're going to faint. We're going to grow feeble in this Christian walk. I don't have to tell you the devil has got a lot of traps out there set to catch you in and me in. And there are a lot of shocks out there in the world, and the best shock absorber I know anything about is prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. By the way, when you're swept off your feet, it's a good time to get on your knees. You remember that little saying, "Talk about me all you please, I'll talk about you on my knees." That's good. We'd do more talking about each other on our knees. We'd have less fights and fusses in churches. Churches break up over nothing. I heard a church some years ago broke up over the time difference. One woman said it's 15 minutes past 11. The other said, no, it's 18 minutes past 11. They had a church split over what time it was. They hadn't been talking about each other on their knees. Now, I've entitled the message, "Learning to Pray." There are three simple principles, and it will not take long for you to get them. Number one, principle number one, begin where you are. Don't wait until you get better. Don't wait until you clean up your life. I want to tell you, you're not going to clean up your life. Only God can clean up your life. Isaiah says, in his 64th chapter, verse 6, but we're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses, plural, are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, watch this, but now, O Lord, thou art our Father. Remember what Jesus taught us to pray, our Father, which art in heaven. Thou art our Father. We are the clay. Thou art our potter. And we all are the work of thy hand. Can I tell you tonight, if you ever get any better than you are, it's going to be because of what God does to you and for you. Only God can cleanse sin. In whom we have forgiveness, the pardon of sin. In whom we have redemption through his blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. Nothing, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I said I love the singing tonight, and I love that message in that one about the debt that we owed that we couldn't pay. Aren't you glad he paid it? Can I say it one more time? I know I say it every time I preach, almost. He did not make a down payment on your sins and expect you to make monthly installments. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left the crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. In vain we seek for peace with God by methods of our own. Dear Jesus, nothing but thy blood can bring us near thy throne. That's principle number one. Begin where you are. Don't wait till you get better. Begin tonight. Begin at the altar tonight. Ask God to teach you to pray. I think the thing that's missing more in churches today than anything else is prayer. Somebody said, no, it's soul. No, it isn't. Somebody said, no, it's giving. No, it isn't. Somebody said, no, it's going out and do it. No, no, no. It's prayer. That's the missing link in the chain of Christian service and relationship to God. And I want to tell you, if you pray like you ought to pray, you're going to go like you ought to go. You're going to give like you ought to give. You're going to be what you ought to be. Because the more time you spend with him, the more you're going to be like him. My wife and I have spent 58 years together this coming Wednesday. I'll never forget that day at the First Baptist Church, downtown Fort Worth, it was then. Dr. Norris brought us down the aisle and united us in marriage. And we've lived together so long, she's begun to look like me. And she even talks like me. I hear her praying, and she prays like me. She reads the Bible like me. I'm saying all that to say, if you stay with Jesus long enough, you'll be a whole lot like him. Principle number two, be honest with God. Don't try to bluff your way into God's heart. Don't get down on your knees and tell God how good you are. He knows better. You're not going to surprise him. You're not going to impress him. The Pharisees tried that, remember? Jesus said, don't be like the Pharisees. They stand out on the street corner. They stand in the synagogues with their long flowing robes. And they lift up their voices and pray so they can be seen of men. When you pray, Jesus said, get in your closet. You mean I got to get in there with all those mothballs and rattling racks and hangers? No, that's not what I mean. But find a place. You need a place in your home. I've told this story before, but I think it bears telling again. Some of you are brand new people and you've never heard this. A few years ago, we were having some work done in our home. They did work in the living room. They did work in the kitchen. They did work in the dining room and the bedroom. And finally, the two men got back to my study. One of them looked at the other and said, there's something strange about this room. In fact, they said there's something strange about this house, but this room is really strange. There's something, there's a different kind of spirit in this room. My wife overheard them. You know how women are, when they overhear something, they're going to speak to it. So she walked up to them and said, "Let me tell you what's different about that room. That's where my husband meets with God at 4:30 every morning." It'll make a difference in your house. Be honest with God. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever, for he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." Jesus is waiting outside the door of your heart. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open, I will come in and sup with him, and he with me." Fellowship with Jesus. What a wonderful fellowship that is. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. Can I tell you that God's not going to force his way in? The handle is on the inside. Keep the lines of communication open. Prayer makes the darkest cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw. Gives exercise to faith and love. Brings every blessing from above. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright. And Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Principle number 3. Continue the conversation all day long. Start the day with God. There's no other way to start it. I met God in the morning when my day was at its best, and his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered. All day long he stayed with me, and we sailed with perfect calmness o'er a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mind, when I too had loosed the moorings with his presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learned through many a troubled way. You must meet him in the morning if you want him through the day. The psalmist said, in 55:17, "Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice." Don't ever say "over and out" to God. That shuts him out. And he's always there. Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is nigh to all them that call upon him, that call upon him in truth." And Paul wrote in Hebrews 10:22, "Let us draw nigh with a true heart." Have you drawn nigh with him lately, to him lately? Back in the days of Artaxerxes, the king of Persia, who ruled 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia, in the year 444, there was a man by the name of Nehemiah who was his cupbearer. He brought him his cup every morning. Maxwell House, I think. No, I think he was probably a different color. And he was very disturbed, this man Nehemiah, because some folks had just come from Jerusalem and told him the walls still burned down. They've not been repaired, and the people are in distress, and they're hungry, and they're hurting, and they have so many problems and so many difficulties. Somebody needs to do something about it. You know, my friend, there's a world out there that's hurting, and somebody needs to do something about it. I believe that somebody's you and me. Nehemiah, in that year 444, remember Ezra had already gone back 14 years earlier and established the civil law, and they had built the temple 536 BC, and now it's 444 BC. Nehemiah's disturbed. You know what he did? He spent 5 months. Are you listening to me? He spent 5 months in prayer from December to April before he went before the king to ask the request to go to Jerusalem. This is an amazing story. So when the time came after his 5 months of prayer, he stood before the king with a sad complexion. Not supposed to go before the king with a sad. In fact, it was punishable by death for a man to stand in the presence of king with a sad countenance. But Nehemiah was a brave man. He stood there. And the Bible says, the king said to him, "What is your request? What do you want me to do?" And the Bible says, before he answered that question, he prayed to the God of heaven. While Nehemiah was talking to the king, Artaxerxes, who had the power to cut his head off, he talked to the King of Kings. He talked to the God of heaven. And you know what? Artaxerxes said, "Pack up, son, and get going. How long are you going to be gone?" Well, he gave him a time, so he goes, and you know the rest of that story. What a wonderful story that is. Here's a lesson to be learned. Don't be too hasty in ending your prayer. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer you. God keeps his promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. "Call upon me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Remember Jesus said in Mark 11:24, "What things soever ye desire, when ye pray," now watch this, "believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." That's what Jesus said. I believe Jesus, don't you? Now here's the truth of it. You can pray, doubt, and do without. Or you can pray, believe, and receive. It's up to you. I remember a number of years ago, my dad was very critically ill in the hospital in Danville, Virginia. Helen and I were at his bedside on a Saturday night. We didn't know how long he was going to make it. And a few minutes in walked a man that we had not seen. He was a member of the Tabernacle, the Baptist Tabernacle, where my daddy pastored. He hadn't been in a long time, hadn't been around. We hadn't seen him in a long time. He came in, went over and greeted my dad, greeted Helen and me. And then he said, "Pastor, if you don't mind, I'd like to get out on my knees and pray for you." Daddy said, "All right." And that man got down on his knees. He looked as healthy as any man in this room tonight. He got down on his knees and this was his prayer. "Dear Lord, whatever years I have left, take them off of my life and put them on my pastor's life." Would you believe at midnight that night, that man died in that hospital, and my dad conducted his funeral on crutches on Tuesday the next? Don't give up. Keep on praying. George Mueller prayed for 40 years for two sons of a friend of his to be saved, and they were. My wife prayed for her daddy for over 40 years before he got saved. But he got saved. Don't quit praying. Pray without ceasing. Let's stand, please. I wish I knew how to give an invitation. The two men that I knew in my ministry could really give an invitation, one was Frank Norris and one was R.J. Barber, my daddy. I remember so many times my daddy saying to his congregation, "Isn't there just a little something that God can do for you?" Can I go back and repeat something I said a while ago? The weakest link in any church is prayer, the prayer link. All we go through, we sing "Sweet Hour of Prayer," and then we're satisfied to pray 5 minutes. May God help us. I wonder how many of you would say tonight, as you listened to what God has said in His Word, you've come to invitation time, and you'd just like to come to the altar and ask God to help you to be a better prayer warrior. I'm not talking about anything else. You can pray for whatever you want to, but I wonder if you'd like to pray, "Lord, teach me to pray. Help me to be a better prayer warrior. Help me to pray more earnestly. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Whatever your need is tonight, I want you to step out of your seat, come down, find your place around the altar, and talk to God. Heavenly Father, speak to all of our hearts tonight. Worth Baptist Church needs prayer warriors. Help us all to find time and place, and make time and make place to pray without ceasing, to pray earnestly, fervently. A red hot prayer availeth much, your book says. May all of us be prayer warriors. Bless every person in this room tonight. If there's an unsaved soul, if there's an outsider, somebody needs to join the church. Prayer burden, somebody's going through a divorce, or somebody's having a hard time at home, or somebody's lost a job, somebody's lost their savings, their 401k is gone. Help them to realize you're the source of all things. In Jesus' name I pray.